We're going to talk about the unlikely disciple. The unlikely, okay, I think it's, okay, maybe it's working. We'll see. Why don't you just get the batteries anyway? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you can make us who we need to be. Thank you, God, for never giving up on us. May we never give up on ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Rahab, the unlikely disciple. Doesn't seem like Rahab and disciple fits in the same sentence, does it? No. All right. First impressions in faith. First impressions in faith. You know, first impressions are important. Amen? But thank God he doesn't stop at first impressions. Because if God did, no one could be saved. If God went with first impressions or second or third or fourth, no one could be a disciple. Think about it. I think about Esther, first impression. Sister was a little reluctant to risk her life. First impression. When I think about David and Goliath, first impression, David didn't have a chance. Amen? First impression. Think about Zacchaeus, that cheating tax collector, that selfish man. First impression, there's no way Jesus would go over Zacchaeus' house. Huh? No way could Zacchaeus become a disciple for Christ. And what about the first impression with Noah? Remember, it had never rained. Noah begins to build an ark because it's going to rain. First impression, the man is crazy. Amen? First impression. Thank God that God does not work with us after first impressions, because when we all meet God, we are all jacked up. Huh? We all got something wrong with us. And those of us who say we ain't got nothing wrong, you really got something wrong. Huh? Because that's what the Bible says, that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. But God said, I'm the one who searches the heart. I know how to handle you. And so the good news of the gospel is that God has a history. God has a habit of selecting unlikely people to become saved, unlikely people to become disciples, regardless of first impressions. He chooses flawed people. Think about it. The most important message on planet Earth, God chooses flawed people to share the three angels' message. You didn't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have a PhD to share the most important message that could be shared on planet Earth. He chooses the most unexpected people to become disciples for him and work with him. He specializes in making people who run and avoid and don't want to get involved, those are the very people he keeps coming, he keeps wooing, he keeps sending his spirit to say, hey, I need you, I want you to work with me. Oh, can I get a witness up in here? See, God doesn't always select those who we deem as the best and the brightest to be disciples. You know, one day the gospel writer Matthew records it. Matthew chapter 21, 32. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees who said that they were the disciples of God. The Pharisees who claimed to be the best and the brightest. The Pharisees who wore those phylacteries around their head that proved their degrees. Jesus said to the Pharisees that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will make heaven ahead of you all. Talking about first impressions. And isn't that why we love God with all our heart, with all our being? That God is not intimidated of your past. He is not intimidated of what's going on in your mind and your heart right now. Who we are and what we have done need not permit us from saying, Lord, take me. Lord, I want to follow you right now. Right now, there can be a change. Right now, there can be a transformation. For see, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is for now living. And all we have to do is just say, hey, God, I messed up. I want to live for you. Isn't that the story, the good news of Rahab? Anyone, anytime, any place who will repent and accept Jesus, he'll say, come on, let's get moving. Let's get rolling here, despite what we have done. God uses crooked sticks to draw straight lines. And today we read about one of those crooked sticks. Now, I want you to think about how God describes Rahab. Boy, it's something. A harlot named Rahab, Joshua 2:1. Huh? Rahab the harlot, Joshua 6:17. Rahab the harlot, Joshua 6:25. Rahab the harlot, James 2:25. By faith, the harlot Rahab, Hebrews 11:31. Wow. How would you like your business out in the street like that? Huh? Would you like some of the things that you do just scream in the big lights? This is how we, our first impression of Rahab. Are you with me? She's a harlot. So right away we're thinking, sister ain't got a chance to go to heaven. Huh? And even more, there is no way she could ever be a disciple. And in a few moments, I'm going to share why God puts Rahab's business out there like that. But Rahab was a Canaanite prostitute. Her sin was public. Well, you know, I guess even though, you know, at least culturally, this type of work was acceptable. I mean, no one really batted too much of an eye at this. Certainly God did. And so right away we say that no way God would ever be able to use Rahab, but that's what I love about God. He tells us, Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is, for it by elders obtained a good testimony. And you know, when we find out this story about Rahab, she has a good testimony through it all. Faith is for now living, and she's able to live in the moment. So we want to look at the journey of faith. The journey of faith for Rahab. God had promised Abraham that he would establish his descendants in the land of Canaan, also known as the Promised Land. Where's your Promised Land? You know, before I met God, my Promised Land was somewhere on planet Earth, you know, retire someplace. But my aim is heaven. My aim is New Jerusalem. That's my Promised Land. Huh? And so, the beginning of the book of Joshua is the historical fulfillment of God keeping his promise. Whatever God has said to you, he can keep his promise. I'm saying, whatever God has whispered to you, whatever you have read in the Word of God and the Spirit just raises up in you, God can back that. He can back that. And so, the children of Israel are preparing to cross the Jordan, enter Canaan, enter the Promised Land. And so we come to Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua focuses on Jericho because in order to get to Canaan, you had to deal with that formidable walled city called Jericho. Jericho was one of the oldest cities. Jericho was a prominent city. Caravans from Africa and Asia and India would travel to Jericho with news, with information, and the good and selling of goods. So Jericho became a hub of commerce, became a hub of trade. It was an important place. Many wealthy people were in Jericho. And one more thing. They didn't care too much for God. They didn't have time for God. You deal with people like that every day. Don't have too much time for God. And I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about good moral people. Some folk might be even more moral than people who profess to be Christians. Yet, they don't have time. God is not in their schedule. You don't see God scheduled in their iPhone or any type of technology. And so here we have Jericho wealthy. They extravagantly devoted themselves to idol worship. And so Joshua needed to get the intel about Jericho. He needed to know about the walls of the city and the gates and the population and the military. Now, you recall 38 years earlier, Moses sent 12 spies. Remember? 12 spies. And they came back with a negative report. Remember that? Got everybody all discouraged. And so Joshua knew the importance of sending these men out. The Bible calls them spies. I'm going to say there were two men. Joshua chose two faithful men, two men who were equipped to handle themselves physically, two strong, faithful men to go to Jericho. Because, you know, you can get lost in the big city of Jericho. Anybody getting lost? Get lost in the technology, lost into the things of this world. Bible says that the cares and the pleasures of this life can choke the word right out of you. And so he had to make sure that these two men wouldn't get choked with the lifestyle of Jericho. You know, let me just sit down by the pool. Let me just chill out a little minute. You know, let me just take a break. You know, God, I'm going to do it, but you know you've checked my schedule, God. I got to work. And so the two men that Joshua chose, he prayed over them, and they went out. Now, it's interesting that Joshua 2:15 tells us that, do you know where Rahab's place was? Rahab's place was in the walls of the city. It wasn't in the countryside. She literally lived in the walls. Think of the skyscrapers, those massive skyscrapers with apartments, right? And it's kind of awesome to see people living up on the 50th floor and the 60th floor. And so Rahab lives in the walls of the city. In the walls of the city. Joshua 2:15. And it seemed like her place, her windows faced outward so you could get out of the city. See, she was always thinking ahead just in case she had to get out of Dodge quick. She could just whoop and be out the city. So for almost 300 years, there was this biblical criticism whether there were homes in the walls of the city. And about the turn of the century, there have been archaeological excavations that actually found evidence in Jericho that there were walls, that there were homes in the walls. See, science can only catch up to what God is doing. And so we look at Joshua. And so she hides the men and she lies, doesn't she? Now, the Bible is not promoting lying. This is not a license that you can lie. But we know in times of war, stuff happens like that. Remember? David pretended to be insane when the Philistine king was chasing him. Joshua, at the Battle of Ai, he pretended like he was retreating. So there is this norm that we see when there's warfare, deception happens. And so think about it. The people of Jericho, they could look out over their walls and see the children of Israel on the other side. They could see the cloud during the day. They could see the fire by night. They could see these Israelites praising and worshiping God, and they thought that they were a threat. So they were on high alert. Aren't we living on high alert? We still got that terrorist alert, don't we? You know what? Red is severe risk. Orange is high risk. Yellow is significant risk. Blue is guarded risk. Green is low risk. I don't think we've been in green for how long, Lucky? Been a long time. Been a while we've been at a low risk of a terrorist attack. And so Jericho was on red alert because they saw the children of Israel, and they didn't know when they were going to attack, but they were preparing for attack. And so these holy men, these spies, chose Rahab's place. You know, maybe a couple of reasons. You know, one, they felt that Rahab would have the information because, you know, all the caravans traveling in and out, and, you know, folk was going to stop off at Rahab's house. And, you know, during her profession, people talk, so maybe they can glean some information. And perhaps because where her house was strategically located, so her family actually believes what Rahab says. It's a miracle. Huh? See, the best thing that we can do to save our families is live for God. I mean, certainly testify, certainly say what you say, but if you really want to win their heart, show up for God. Oh, boy. If you really want to save your family, show up for God. That's the best way. You get here on church. You get here on time. You get here and be active, and those who don't believe say, you must be serious. Huh? But why should they take you serious when you ain't serious? Why should people take you serious when you can't fit God into your schedule? Why should people take you serious when you come to church and fall asleep? Why should people take you serious when you ain't really serious for God? You don't go to heaven for punching the Sabbath school card. There's no Sabbath school. Well, God, I made church 48 weeks out the year and done squat. That's not how it works. Jesus died so that we can make a difference. And folk ain't going to churn just because you tell them about the Sabbath. They got to see it. They got to see God in your life. They got to see God when you mess up, how you can come to your God and wrestle with God for forgiveness. They got to see the God of heaven and earth in your life. What's this? This is just a book to them. This is just a book. But when they see this book in you, out your mouth, and in your hands, and in your feet, and you're walking, and you're making a priority for the things of God, now you got their attention. Now you got their attention. And so Rahab lived by faith. And so they have the conversation. And Rahab, they begin to see the power of God. She hears about it. Remember, God instructs the army to march around this huge, formidable walled city. For 6 days they march. So on the first day, they marched, right? Didn't they march around the city? And then when they finished marching, what did they do? They went home. This is war. They went home. But guess what Rahab was doing on that first day? She was telling people, judgment is coming. Come and be saved in my house. God loves you. You can be spared. First day. The second day, the children of Israel are marching around. Third day, the children of Israel are marching around. And each day, I can see Rahab in the streets telling people, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And you can be saved. Come into my house. The fifth day, children of Israel are marching around the city, huh? Aren't they? After they stop marching, they go back. What's Rahab doing? Pleading with the people. Is not our Joshua coming? is not Jesus Christ coming? Isn't this the time that we should be pleading with people? Jesus is coming. Come into the house of God. Be saved by the Lord. God will forgive you of your sin. He loves you. Each day is our time to be like Rahab and get out. Get with it each day. But then on that seventh day, you know what happened. They marched around, didn't they? Not just one time. They marched how many times? Seven times. And they blew the seven trumpets and they shouted. And what happened? Well, the walls came down, right? But not all the walls came down. The walls came down, but not all the walls came down because Rahab lived on the walls. So all the walls came down except where Rahab lived. Hallelujah. All the walls came down except where Rahab lived. See, God knows how to protect his own. God knows how to protect you. Rahab could say, 1,000 fall at my left and 10,000 on my right, but I'm not falling. The walls came down, but not on Rahab. Oh, what an awesome story. By faith, the worst sinner can be saved. Don't let your present or your past stop you from serving the God of heaven. What do you say? Huh? Don't let the things of this world choke the word of life from you. Stay connected with God. If you mess up, say, God, I need you. I want you. And think about it. Because of her faith, if you look at Hebrews 11, which is called the Hall of Faith, those who were believers, Hebrews 11, if you check off the list, Abel is there. You'll say, yeah, Abel belongs there, don't you think? And Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Oh, wow, yeah, these are big hitters. They belong on this list. And Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph. Hey, doesn't Moses belong on the list? And then you find who? Rahab. Because she walked by faith. She didn't let the gossip of the street stop her. You know, they used to talk about Rahab behind her back and in front of her. She didn't let that stop her. She lived for Jesus. What do you say? She lived for the Almighty God. And if you think about it, we don't know for see Solomon, the father of Boaz, who was the mother of Rahab. Some historians say that Solomon was one of the spies that came to Rahab's place. You know? And we see that Rahab is in the family lineage of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a harlot. I'm talking about somebody who allowed God to change her life. And you know what? You and I are on this Hebrews 11 list. So you have the names Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Moses and Rahab. I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. You see the names of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. But see, you'll find, I think verse 35, you'll find the word others. Others who were faithful. I'm another. And you'll find the word in Hebrews 11, you'll find the word them. I'm part of that them. I'm part of them. And then twice in Hebrews 11, you'll find the word us. I'm us. See, I'm on that list. I'm on that disciples list, and so can you if you show up for God. And in the end, it's salvation through the blood of Jesus. See, it's his blood. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. At the end of the month, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. What an awesome event. His blood redeems us from our first impressions. His blood covers our messy lives over every wrong we have ever done. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus that keeps a person free from sin. These two men were in a harlot's house, and they weren't lusting, but they were blessing, keeping from sin. Talking about the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us. Sanctification is being set apart. You are set apart. You're special to do God's work. The blood of Jesus brings justification to the guilty. Now remember, we started out the message five times. It called Rahab the harlot. Remember that? Do you know why God did that? To show that God knows Rahab's sin and he knows your sin. That we can't hide from God. That we might as well be transparent, because God can call our sins just as clear as he did Rahab. He can call out our sins. But God says, I don't want to call out your sin. I want to wipe your sin out. That's why I got up on the cross and shed my blood so that I can legally justify you. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the blood of Jesus that takes care of a sin consciousness. Hebrews 9:14 says that the blood of Jesus can purge our consciousness of sin. If you think about it, Rahab stopped thinking like a harlot. She stopped talking like a harlot because she received God's forgiveness. I keep saying you can't forgive yourself. You got to accept God's forgiveness for you. You say, God, I receive your forgiveness. Because again, if we could forgive ourselves, then I'm going to steal your car and forgive myself later. Serious. Why not? When am I going to get a deal like that? Huh? But we have to only, Jesus died on the cross because he is the source of forgiveness. If we could forgive ourselves, there would be no need for a cross. Talking about the blood of Jesus brings peace for troubled hearts. Didn't Jesus say, peace I give to you? Not an ATM card, not a credit card, but peace. Not as the world gives. He says, my peace I leave with you. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. See, this is why you're here. Not just for your peace. Oh, there's somebody on your job needs the peace of God, isn't there? Somebody on your street needs the peace of God. And like Rahab, they're not coming to church. But you are the church mobile. God has his own mobile app of Christians. All he got to do is touch his app, and that should empower you to go forth. And so the good news that we want to share, that people can have peace, people can be saved through the blood of Jesus. What do you say?